Welcome back to the Making Money Online Diaries. Wow, I've forgotten what episode we're in now. To be fair, I've forgotten what day of the week it is. It's the school summer holidays. And I don't even look anymore at the date or the day, because every day is kind of blending into each other, and I should imagine this is what retirement feels like. But I'm not retired yet. I'm still grafting. Listen, this week has been insane. Insane. Let's just say the highest of the highs, the lowest of the lows, and all that's in between. And look, I'm not one to air my dirty laundry, whether that's bragging about successes or wallowing in despair. That's not me. Never has been, and it never will be. I want to lay this out. Your branding externally matters. The persona that you put in front of the world matters. Not just in camera, but in life. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Don't swear in front of kids. Don't murder anyone. All of these basic rules of life. It may stop you from being you at some point, but it's how you fit into societal norms. And I'm fully aware of the persona that I put out there on this camera, in this life, because I would like to be treated the same way that I like to think that I treat other people. Now, all that being said, business is cutthroat and rough. It can be. And it takes a conscious effort every day to separate the personal from the financial. You got to strip all of that away when it comes to decisions that are made that are underpinned by this notion of business. There is a blur between business and pleasure, because if you affect my business, you are affecting the money that I can bring to my family, right? So the effort for me to separate the two is a conscious one daily that I have to remind yourself of. And I think I do a pretty good job. Now, I owe a lot of that to Luke, my business partner Luke, who without I probably would have gone insane and down a rabbit hole many times, especially this week. And I'd like to think that I keep him in check as well for these sorts of things. But we know when one or another is feeling the pressure, is getting an attack of the worries, the anxieties, when one of us needs a kick up the arse or a head wobble. And I'm forever grateful to him for so many things. But of course, my wife, who I know I can speak to about anything, because she just knows me inside out, but she also knows the business inside out. I mean, and what a lovely thing to have. But the notion I want to address here is you're told as you go into business that you should cut your friends who don't get it. You should cut your friends who aren't on the same level as you. You should cut your friends who don't aspire to the same goals as you or live the same way as you. And I'm here to say bollocks to that. I don't agree with any of that. Why should I get rid of my friends who I've known my whole life just because they're not into the same business that I'm in? In fact, it's really dawned on me these last couple of months that the people I need the most when things are going bad are my friends and family. Because if all I've got in this life are friends within the industry that I work in, or friends within the network that I've made, and some of them are very good friends in there, if all I've got are those people, then how do I switch off? Can't, can you? You need an outlet, and that outlet can't just be you at the gym, you in the cinema, you in a book. Because you see what the one constant is there? It's you alone, with nothing but your thoughts and some form of escapism. I am very lucky that I am part of a very big family. I am Brighton born and bred, and I live just outside of Brighton. So a lot of my friends that I grew up with are still in the area. My network of friends that I've been through divorce with, Jesus, near bankruptcy with, various job changes with, they're still around. Now, when I joined the police, I got told the same thing. I got told on the first night out that I had on a works night out, by the way, works nights out with the police are the worst. Because you've got the ones that don't really let loose, and then the others that do. Woo, that's a different kettle of fish. Anyway, I was told very, very early on, your police are going to be your family, because you go through highs and lows of them, and you do. You go through PTSD-inducing things with your police colleagues. Same with every public sector job. And I got told, the friends that you've got will flitter away, and all you'll have left is your police family. And I remember thinking, no, I won't. There is no way I'm getting rid of my friends or family. And swapping them with police. Woohoo! But I remember it thinking, no, I wouldn't ever do that. And then when I got into business, I heard the same thing. I saw the same posts on TikTok. Cut your friends, do this, do that. These pithy quotes. Don't surround yourself with people that bring your energy down. Yeah, I get that. But it doesn't mean that if I've got a friend who has been on the tools their whole life, just because I've never been on the tools, am I meant to get rid of them? No. And I've realised these last few months, I have thrown myself into this business so much. We all have. Everyone that's actually invested in what we do at For The Nation have thrown themselves into it so much. Neither of us. Personally, all my spare time has been going towards my family, but I'm changing it. Mark my words, right? Write it down. We're in the third week of August, and I have left about 8 or 9 WhatsApp groups that were all pretty much made up of the same sort of people, various aspects of the business. And we've moved on to Slack, and that can be my workplace. That's my work notification. I've got a business phone number, that can be my work notifications. My WhatsApp, my personal WhatsApp, is for my friends and my family. So I'm not missing them anymore in a sea of messages that I don't actually get to. And the best bit of advice that I can give you, if you're listening to this thinking, how do I make money online? Do not give up your friend circle for the sake of this business, thinking that ditching them is going to better your life. And for those of you that have only got friends in this business, go and get some others. Don't ditch anyone, but go and get some friends that are outside of the business. Friends that care about you, not your money. Because those people, you should cling on to them for dear life and never let them go. Now, the other thing that resonated with me this week was a post I saw. And we've all seen variations of things like this, you know, about how long you actually keep people in your life for. When I first met Claire, one of the questions she said to me was, I wonder what sort of person you're going to be. Are you going to be a season, a reason, or a forever? And the answer is, no one knows who they're going to be. No one knows. And it's not out of nastiness or bitterness, but people just come and go. And I saw a post this week and it reminded me of that. Here's a little experiment for you while you're listening to this. The year is 2025. Go back to 2018 and think about the people that you spoke to every day. The people that were on your phone as your go-tos, your speed dial folk, the ones that you knew you could call up on and go for a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, the work colleagues that you spoke to or went out with on social events or sporting events or even cinema trips. How many of those people that you were speaking to in 2018 are still around today? Right? Not many, is it? Listen, I've been married twice, and the guest list for wedding one on my side was very different to the guest list in wedding two. People come and go, and that's all right. It's not all nasty breakups and nasty friendship separations. People just come and go. So fast forward 5 years from now, 2030, do you genuinely think that the people you're speaking to all day, every day are going to be there in 5 years? Of course they're not. Do you know which ones are going to disappear? No. But I reckon you got a bit of a feeling. So the question is, in your day-to-day life, why are you doing things to please others that are probably not going to be there in 5 years' time? The only one constant that's going to be there in 5 years' time is you. So start living for you. Stop living for other people. And if that means pissing someone off for a decision that you know is best for you, you do, because you in 5 years' time will thank you. Bloody hell, got deep, right? This week, I have been my... I'm interviewing my wife, Claire. We came back from Chessington and I had the camera and I had the kit and I said to Claire, look, we're knackered. The kids were pretty much zonked out in the back seat. I went, look, it's been a little while since everybody caught up with you and what you're doing. The first time we spoke to Claire, she was an Amazon FBA seller. Then she was a TikTok affiliate. Now, to say she is a vital cog in the affiliation wheel is an understatement. So let's check in with Claire. Let's see what she's doing now to earn money online. And let's see how she's feeling. And this is also a peek behind the curtain of what agency life is like. And if anyone is thinking of getting involved in an agency, this is just a hint of some of the work that's involved that we don't talk about. Let's have a little listen, shall we? How are you feeling?
Tired. No, I'm all right.
So, we have done, this is our third podcast episode together.
I think it's fair to say every time we've done an episode, your role and career has shifted significantly. What are you doing at the moment?
Okay, so obviously I'm still doing my own affiliate stuff, trying to fit it in. Just because, yeah, my role has shifted a lot in the agency. And it is just absolutely bonkers at the moment. But I'm still trying to remain consistent with my affiliate stuff. But trying to go live every day to every other day is just not going to happen at this point in time. So I've parked that idea, just do a couple of lives each week.
Well, before you beat yourself up, let's go into what else you're doing.
What else are you doing at the moment?
Hang on a minute.
Oh.
It's not that I've let myself down. It's just the fact that probably the timing of it probably wasn't the right time for me to have started going hardcore with the lives.
No, but we didn't entail what else you do to be also encompassing, did we?
No, true. But on the agency side of things, what I've taken on kind of, it's really tricky to explain it because it kind of all inseparable interlinks. It's really random.
So now we're the agency.
Now we're in the agency.
You are part of the team,
yeah,
as well as being an affiliate yourself.
Yeah.
You are a coach.
Yeah.
You are an admin for calls.
Yes. I kind of set up certain campaigns. I negotiate high commissions on certain things. And a lot of it I'm starting to do is to do with global selling. So a lot of the stuff from China.
Tech and fashion.
Tech, well, it's kind of anything and everything really. Fashion and non-fashion. So, you know, pretty much everything. Because Dildrop's coming up, we've got the product call that is local, which basically just means you've got your branded stuff in there. That is probably based in the UK.
And what's the August deal drops? That's sales for customers, right?
Yes.
Cheap deals.
So it's just making sure that everybody's aware of all the products that are available to them. And trying to set up different campaigns at different times in order to make sure affiliates are getting themselves sorted. So in preparation for those, to take advantage of the drops that are happening at the end of the month.
Okay, so there's that. You're also our main liaison with TikTok, other than Luke and I.
Yes, do a lot of other kind of admin bits, so I can talk to them directly if people have problems with their accounts and we know it is a genuine reason, and we believe it's an actual genuine reason, to talk about, you know, violations and accounts and restrictions. And any other kind of campaigns that TikTok are trying to push at any one time. So yeah, it's a lot of it's kind of
multifaceted, isn't it?
Yeah, it's taken off a lot.
As well as being an affiliate. And this is what we're finding. Because of the success we've had, TikTok say to us, right guys, we've got this brand new incentive that we're testing you guys out with. And then what Luke and I do is say to Claire, there you go, Claire, can you run that one for us? That's with the beauty stuff, the FMCG, the fast moving consumer goods stuff.
So it's a case of basically finding, selecting the products, all the paperwork that needs to be submitted for that, getting those kind of products signed off, then setting up the campaigns, finding affiliates, and then kind of launching it, tracking it, making sure samples go out, approving samples.
So on top of that, you are also keeping on top of how the affiliates are performing and how many posts they're creating per sample to meet their obligation as well as meeting our obligation that we've got with TikTok, right?
Yeah, so I do a lot of talking to our VA team and making sure that, you know, every time samples or taken spreadsheets to set up so we can track, tracking all the data in the system that we've got, which is technically TikTok system anyway. And just making sure that everybody's doing everything that needs to be done, replying to any kind of messages that come through on TikTok from affiliates, dealing with any kind of issues that might be happening with samples, etc., or not being able to fulfill sample quotas and stuff. And then also, you know, trying to put documents together to help affiliates understand the processes a little bit more, making sure any new policy that comes out that we are on it and we understand what it is, and then we can relay that information in a way that can be understood by affiliates.
And you also pretty much run two virtual assistants?
So I've got one who helps me with the kind of campaign setups, sample approvals, making sure that everything is sorted, sets up the spreadsheets, and then the other two then actually track over the 2 weeks for every sample that's given out.
Right.
So liaison in between the three of them.
Pretty full on, right?
It is, yeah. It can be intense.
And are you enjoying it?
I am really enjoying it, yeah. I think it'll be easier, obviously, when the kids are back at school and everything. But I think what I need to try and do is give myself kind of set times that I do certain things, because I'm a bit of a sucker for if someone asks a question in Discord or raises a ticket, I go answer it straight away, when actually it then deters from something else that I'm meant to be doing.
Yeah.
And then sometimes if they constantly ask the same question or loads of things come through on the same thing, I kind of feel like I need to deal with it before it kind of escalates even more. A lot of issues come through when there's been a sample drop. So, you know, it's trying to make sure that everyone's reading the information correctly, watching the video on how to request free samples, and just making sure that actually they follow that process.
I would say we've had three big waves. We had the people that joined us in October, mm-hmm. and we were all learning at the same time. It was all a massive, massive learning curve. Then we had the people that joined us in February, a massive wave again, but by then we were ready. It was much better because we knew what we were doing. But then as we transitioned from Discord to our own app, and then Rachel's post went bang, is 300 new people.
Yeah, that
was at the beginning of the summer holidays.
Yeah, so the timing of it all has been, it's absolutely great. It's been so lovely seeing so many new people in the community. It's absolutely wonderful. But obviously with that sudden influx of people, naturally there's going to be a lot of kind of Q&A, troubleshooting.
Yeah, that's it. But just going back to you now, I remember for a good few months when you were doing the affiliate stuff, and the last time we spoke on the podcast, you were gaining traction, and then in typical TikTok shop fashion, kind of stopped and we don't know why. And we were having these conversations, weren't we, saying, right, okay, we know we're bringing in this amount of money per month. What can we do to bring in more? You were struggling to find almost your own identity in this space, weren't you?
Yeah, from an affiliate side of things, definitely. I think when I first started my account, my original account, I didn't know what I wanted to be as a brand, as an account. I didn't know what I wanted that to be.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I kind of just carried on thinking, you know, it was that situation of, you know, throwing as much as I could at the wall to see what stuck.
Well, and you were aligned. No, that's right. But you were aligned to us and Tick Marketing because of the route we found ourselves into TikTok Shop.
Yeah.
And you naturally went down the supplement route because that was our bread and butter.
Yeah, and that's what was kind of available, freely available, yeah, in terms of products.
But your niche of busy working mum,
yeah,
might not have aligned with supplements as
no, and I
exclusively,
think,
is that?
I think when I started up my second account, which has now become my main account, I really took the time to kind of really think about my branding and what I wanted that to represent. And it's taken a little while to really kind of get on to grips with it.
Yeah.
And really train the algorithm. And I think I decided then what I kind of wanted my niches to be, and branding myself around this idea of being a busy mom, because I am a busy mom. And so, yeah, it's kind of helped. And then I was always saying, no, never ever going to go live, never, never, never. And then suddenly one day I just woke up, sleep deprived, and decided to go live. And it's kind of really helped. It is true what they say, annoyingly. It does help with your videos and your posts and everything like that. But I think back when I started, going live wasn't as important as it is now.
No, you're probably right.
I think a lot more emphasis is now on being put on lives, more incentives is being put on.
They're putting more resources to helping us don't go live.
And they're wanting, it's still only a very, very small a number of affiliates who actually go live, and also just normal users of TikTok go actually live, and they're wanting to promote that more and more and more.
That's true.
So therefore I think they have changed how lives affects the algorithm in terms of your shoppable posts.
Yeah, you'd be amazed how many creators don't know that an agency can give them traffic to a live, can give them TikTok in subsidies, they call it. So we've got creators that they tell me what time and date they're going live and what products they're selling. Some of them are going out to the brand and getting flash sales, and then we're going to TikTok and saying, right, put an extra discount on that. And the sales they're creating are out of this world, you're right. And not on top of that, TikTok are saying to us, right, your best creators, tell us who they are and when they're going live and we'll do this. But your small and medium creators, we're running a competition for them as well, put them in this one, and they're throwing money at us.
Yeah. But I also think as an affiliate, when you go live, and also from what we can see on the back end of a live and all the data and the analytical side of things, I think that's become more and more sophisticated. So you can really kind of drill down into why a live is working and why it's not. And at the end of the day, it's an algorithm, it's a computer that pushes the live out. And so if you're doing all the things that the algorithm needs, there's no reason as to why that live can't be successful.
That's true.
It's just knowing what you need to do in order to push it out, and try and just practice and adapt to that. And I think what TikTok are doing is they're making agencies more aware of all that data in order to help,
you're exactly right.
Educate.
So even if you're scrolling on your For You page and this live pops up, and let's say TikTok have forced that live on your For You page, it doesn't mean anyone's going to stick around.
No.
I think that's really, really important to highlight. You still have to be engaging. You still have to be cycling through the products in the same way.
Yeah.
Good lighting, good energy for people to stick around.
But I think, there's been a lot of, over the past, I think there's been, like, particularly when I started, there was a lot of people going, you can make X amount of money, all you need to do is this, and you don't need to really put much effort in, blah, 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 etc., etc.
Now TikTok have gone, actually, we don't want people lying. We don't want people making false claims about weight loss. We don't want people being lewd. We don't want people pretending they like something when clearly they don't.
Yeah, and I think that's what's happened. I think
it's, creators have to work harder.
This is it, and it's not a, you know, the algorithms have changed so much, and it's very clear that TikTok want basic creators to be creative. They want,
and authentic.
Yeah, they want them. It's, whether it's face on or faceless, it's absolutely fine. But what they want, trying to do, is they're trying to weed out basically those creators who aren't really putting any effort in, sending a post out in the hope that it's going to make them loads of money. And what TikTok are going is, no, we're not doing that anymore. And it's the same with the lives as well. We've all seen those lives where you've just basically got a product on a turntable, there's no talking, and that's it.
Yeah,
you know, it's a way of kind of removing those kind of people, creators, from the platform, and they are tightening up all their policies, so people are starting to get a lot more violations, and I think it's just a case of having to go through, educate yourself about what the new policy changes are, and adapt if needs be the way that you are creating your SVs.
Yeah, it's nuts how it changes, doesn't it?
Mm.
When you got going, so you started what, August last year?
Yeah, end of July, beginning of August, yeah.
Did you think that you would be on the phone to the global selling team at TikTok every week, negotiating deals for 1,000
affiliates?
Well,
every day at the moment, several times a day.
It is, yeah.
No, not in the slightest. Never did I think.
It is incredible, isn't it? But yeah, going back, when Luke and I realised that we were missing an awful lot of information on Lark. Lark is the TikTok version of WhatsApp. Well, actually, it's the TikTok version of sort of Microsoft Office, isn't it? It's everything. We said, me and Luke and I said, right, this is a good job for Claire. And I remember you the next day just saying, I am loving this. I've finally got a role, a job, something that I can get my teeth into. And bloody hell. Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, because I mean, he's the world of TikTok is huge, like huge.
And how long have you been doing this job now? A month?
I kind of started doing things probably end of July, two weeks really.
So in that time, it's the first time that we as an agency started doing FMCG in a global selling space and locally.
Yeah.
And the first time that we started doing fashion and non-fashion.
Yeah.
And what feedback have we had? What did we get told last week?
That we have been identified as one of the rising star agencies to put a lot of effort and attention to.
So of the rising star agencies, where are we placed?
We are the number one.
So it's going well?
It's going really well, yeah. It's going really, really well. And it is, we are, you know, I've been looking at loads of different incentives, so we go for the best practice videos per week, and we seem to be winning that one. Put in for, you know,
most amount of posts per sample.
Yeah, to make sure brands are getting, you know, what's required, and we are up there with the best in that one.
Most amount of new affiliates onboarding.
New affiliates, which is going really well.
So I just like talking about those three, because number one, we've got the most people. Number two, they're producing the most content. Number three, it's of the highest quality.
Yeah.
What better indicator is that of us as an agency?
This is it. And I think, you know, we are really good at supporting people on their, at the beginning parts of their journey. And we give people a chance, and we educate, and, you know, we're constantly saying, think about your best practice, think about what is needed, think about your lighting, think about your sound.
Protect your account, not God, yeah. Protect your account. This is the big thing that we're noticing lately. But you and I always did this in the Amazon space. You and I were going, right, if you've got a mechanism to make money online, why are you risking that mechanism?
Yeah.
why aren't you protecting your account at all costs? If you know a certain product or a certain key phrase or a certain set of words is causing others, communities, LARC groups, to incur violations after violations, why are you still doing it? There's nothing worth risking your account, is there?
No.
And we practice that. Treat your account well.
It is, because, you know, if that goes, then we're still in that kind of honeymoon period where they're allowing you to create a second account. But, you know, even those, I'm starting to see those who do build a second account, it's now starting to come up that actually you're not allowed to have the account if you've had previous banned accounts.
They're tracking IPs now, aren't they?
Yeah.
A bit so, like Etsy. If you've got a banned account at that IP, they won't let you set up another account.
No, so it's, and I think that we'll probably go down that route at some point.
Yeah.
If you get a banned account, you won't be able to get, you won't be able to set up another.
Yeah, it might be. And TikTok don't care how big you are.
No.
Back to you. So we've got you as an affiliate,
mm-hmm.
and then you as management of the agency. And we were talking about workloads, weren't we? And being sure not to take on too much, and making sure you're on top of your quotas. How many products you got coming next week? What? Genuine question as an investigative journalist.
I'd say I've got 5 or 6 of products to finish off the quotas. I can't remember how many of those off the top of my head I've still got to do. Then I've got currently 7 items that have already been arrived this week that I need to do minimum of 4 on.
Each?
Mm-hmm. And then I've got 26 coming.
26 products coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
4 posts per product.
Mm. I'm in sample hell.
So what does that make you?
Sample slug.
None of these are supplements, are they?
No, none are supplements.
And that's a big change for you.
It is. And I think I've kind of, found where I am with supplements now, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Free Soul suits you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I really like it. And I think it fits with the kind of brand that I've aligned myself to.
Yes. So now you've had this crash course into how the agency works. Most importantly, how TikTok specifically works. How has that changed you as an affiliate?
Good question.
Thanks.
A lot of people worry when things aren't going well with TikTok and the views are low, lives are not great, all this kind of stuff. And I think knowing what I know now, that actually if I put a post out and it's, you know, by the end of the day it's still only 50 views, it doesn't worry me at all anymore.
No.
Because I know at some point...
No, it's true, you don't talk to me about your views at all anymore.
That is just going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because I know, and I know what people are told it, and the logic part of everyone's head just goes, yeah, I know that. But, you know, this idea of something you put out today isn't going to make you a sale today. I mean, you might do, absolutely fabulous, but the likelihood of you putting a post out and getting a sale today is really, really small. It's the fact that you are playing the consistency game, you're putting the kind of, you know, you're showing TikTok and you're showing up every single day. You are, you know, remaining consistent. At the beginning, being consistent is absolutely vital for your account health. Yes. I could have hundreds and hundreds of people in my life, but it doesn't mean that I'm necessarily going to be buying anything.
Mm.
I know that actually with the numbers that I've had in my lives, they're not big numbers at all, but I've been making sales consistently.
Yeah.
So, you know...
Some people will literally pop into a live, buy something and disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They pop in, stick it in the basket, and then pay for it later.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, I think, with lives, is that people seem to think they've got to buy, it's got to be the
GMV on that life.
Yeah, and it's not, because sometimes I'll stick it in a basket, and it could be a couple of days, maybe a week later, that someone actually pays for the actual goods.
Yeah. How has all of this impacted you in your capacity as a wife and a mother?
Obviously, my first, my always priority is being
me.
A mother.
No, no, not me.
And you.
Oh, okay.
But it is all encompassing at the moment. And it's a case of, during the daytime sometimes, I can't work. And it's a case of, you know, I'm having to work once the kids have gone to bed. So sometimes I'm having to do really late nights, just because during the daytime I'm looking after the kids.
That's true. And as if by magic, the youngest has woken up. So we might have to cut this short. Let's call it a day there. Come back on soon, will you, love?
Of course. Give me another 6 months. I'll fit you in my schedule.
Let's see what job you got then.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be retired from being on the beach.
And there we go. That was a peek behind the curtain of what agency life is like. Now, to say I'm proud of this team, and I know that's my wife, but to say I'm proud of this team is an understatement. From Luke, who I run this with, who we are speaking to 13, 14 hours a day, trying to get this thing where we need it to get to. To Claire and Rachel in the team, who oversee an awful lot of stuff that we don't really talk about. To the coaches, the people that have mattered this whole time since October. But most importantly, to you, the community, to you, the people, the affiliates that have stuck around, even if you haven't stuck around, that took a punt on us, learned, and then decided to do whatever. That's totally fine with us. We are so grateful that you took a part in what we were trying to grow. And we are only just getting started. But I can hand on heart say that when Luke and I had a bad day last week, we both jumped on a call with our community and we instantly felt uplifted, knowing that what we have built is something that is so special, there is no monetary value you can put on that. So to that, is to you bunch of legends if you're part of Affiliation. And if you're not, what the hell are you playing at? Can you get your asses into Affiliation? Because there is no community like it. There is no extended family like it. And we are going places that you lot will never be able to believe. See you next week.